Sellers and Makers podcast brings the community to you. We talk to small business owners about work, life, and everything in between. Subscribe to Sellers and Makers podcast so you never miss an episode. Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and today we are speaking with Angelica Hanley from A Couple of Puns. Angelica, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey everyone, I'm Angelica. I am the owner of A Couple Puns. We are a punny paper goods company that specializes in sparking joy and laughter through paper goods. All of our designs are punny and sassy, and they're sold online and in shops all over the country.
Awesome. I love all of your punny sayings. They really are. Like, if y'all haven't, you actually probably have seen them and don't realize who they belong to. Cause I know when I was looking at some of yours, I was like, oh wait, I've seen those. And cause you're at Paper Source, aren't you? And you're
yeah.
in several different places. So big places, awesome things.
I like to say that we have a pun for every occasion. I think of things and I doodle and I come up with little witty sayings that can be perfect for a friend, a wedding, a baby.
All of life's experiences.
Exactly. All the, like I say, it's all occasions and like every moment that's in between.
Yes. So if y'all want to check it out, acoupleofpuns.com is where you can find her. And it's just you that you're the owner. You're the one that comes up with everything. You're the artist, all of it.
Yep. I'm wearing lots of hats. I do outsource some things. All my printing is outsourced. I work with a local print shop. Any of the products that I produce, they're outsourced. But I try to keep the manufacturing locally, just so I can oversee things and I can take on big orders without keeping a lot of inventory in house.
Quality control. So,
yeah. Quality control is really big for me. Yeah. I come from a marketing background and I worked in production. So that's where I learned all my little paper production knowledge.
Okay. Well, all of it's really important. I'm just like, all of the effort to come up with the puns and the cute little drawings that go with it, like, and then you run the whole business as well. Like it's seems like a lot of hats and
it's fun though.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why I've been able to stay consistent with it mm-hmm. because when I first started this, I was working full time in a marketing agency and I was like always dabbling in little side hustles. But nothing stuck. Like I would do little paintings. I started doing some copywriting. And then when I started A Couple Puns, I was like, okay, this fulfills me creatively because I can draw, I can paint, I can doodle, I can do the copywriting. And then I have the social media side of it. And then I'm challenged by learning all about e-commerce and now wholesale and all of that stuff. So it keeps me occupied and it fills like all of those little avenues, I think.
Right. No. And I understand that because sometimes in some jobs, it just seems so mundane or you're not getting your creative fill or the technical part. You don't have that puzzle that you're trying to figure out. Whereas when you own your own business, you're figuring it all out. So you have that creative side that you can get to, but then also you can be analytical with your numbers and figuring out e-commerce. Cause that's always.
It's an ever-changing beast.
Interesting.
And being like creativity comes in waves too. I'll go months without like creating any new stuff. And then I will get in a mood. I will have a little like an easy break with my kids mm-hmm. and I will turn out like 20 new designs. And then I won't do it again for a couple months and I'll focus on all the business stuff. So I think that's something that's also helped me be successful with it is being able to ride those waves, not force the creativity and just kind of like do things on my own terms with the business.
Right. But you also know that, like, so mm-hmm. it's not like you're sitting there like, I need to come up with a new a new saying, a new pun every day. Like, you're not like sitting there like forcing yourself, because that's when the writer's block or the creative block would come, is when you're trying to make these out of nothing. I feel like that's what I would try to be doing. Like, no, I have to come up with something new every day. But if you know that you have a wave and it's like 20 things and you're like, oh, great, this is like my new release.
Yeah, like it's happening. I can feel it. I'm like, all right, mood's right.
Right. When all of the funny things that start happening, all of your life, you know, all of the things going on in your life make it, you know, they make it to paper. They make it funny.
Yeah. And a lot of them, I mean, it's tied in personality. The business is very personal. If you look at my logo, it's a doodle of my husband and I. There's a little pun on it, because it's a doodle of us in a car for cards. So just like thinking of little puns for everything. Yeah. But there's a lot of personality in it. And a lot of the like designs are inspired by the different places that we've traveled. And we're a military family, so we move a lot. I started it when we were living in Texas. So a lot of the art and designs were inspired by Texas and the people I was meeting there. And then we were in Boston. So, and now we're in Florida. So, I'll look back on old designs and I'll see, I mean, I've grown with my art and with the brand. But everything, I can see the waves, like where I lived, what I was doing.
But now that's fun to like
mom stuff.
Yeah, to look back on and like see those years in it, and like, oh,
it's really cool.
I was in Texas at that point, and oh, I became a mom here, because everything's like centered around like mom jokes and kids and you know, baby showers, or you know, like I love being able to look back and seeing that. How long have you been in business?
I've been doing this for about 7 years now. Right.
When did you decide? So it started as a side hustle. When did you decide to make it your full-time gig, and how did you like make the jump?
It kind of like, it seems like it just happened. But when I reflect, I remember I was really scared to ever not have a full-time job. So the first leap was really when we moved from Texas to Boston. My husband's a Navy pilot, so we moved. And I ended up getting a marketing, like a contracting job, but I kind of reversed it. A couple puns was really my full-time gig, and that was my like side gig, just to have some extra money to play with, so I could like say yes to doing the expensive trade shows and whatnot. But then when we moved to Florida about 3 years ago is when I just decided to focus on a couple puns. It was right after, I was in the middle of 2020, like the end of 2020 that we moved here. Things were different. Wholesale shows had all moved online. Like online sales were up. I just felt like it was the right time to be able to focus on it. I had seen all of my work paying off, and I was like, you know what? I can do this now. And if not, I can always just go get another job.
I feel like that year was life-changing for a lot of small businesses that decided to say, you know what, we're going to do it. We're just going to fully jump in. This is no longer my side hustle. And I mean, I totally understand it being scary to not have that full-time job, but you're right. You can always go get another one.
It wasn't even about the money. It was a mental thing for me. I think I'd spent like my whole young adulthood thinking that like just having this one like career goal and had this idea of what that looked like. And I think that having my own business has really put things into perspective. Then becoming a mom, it's really put things into perspective. Like things that I used to think I cared about, I just cared about them for the sake of caring about it. I have so much more clarity in my priorities now. And it's been really good for the business. Like people freak out and fear becoming a mom. I think it's been a really good thing for me when it comes to like my profession and my business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's the saying that it's like, if you can't figure something out or do something, give it to a mom, they'll do it. Like,
busy mom.
I feel like mothers get stuff done. I mean, first of all, they figured out what their priorities are, and then they know that there's only a certain amount of time in the day before the kids take over again. So like the amount of stuff that can get done in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I live in between nap time. that's my time to be efficient, my time to get a little time to myself.
So. Nap time to nap time, exactly. Yep. To me, like, when you think about, like, mothers going back into the workforce after having their babies, like, if they took some time off or whatever, I just think, you know, some people see that time off as, like, a, you know, a bad thing. But then for me, I'm like, it's a mom. Moms will always rise to the occasion. Or at least personally, that's how I feel. And yes, they do totally change your kids, change your perspective on what's important. And I feel like so many young mothers really dive into that side hustle that they were trying to do so that they can focus on their kids as well.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we can get into a motherhood chat. We could talk about this all day, but no, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that once I fully embraced that, like, it was great for me creatively. It was great for my business, my family. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful. I started the original inspiration behind A Couple Puns was before COVID, the only kind of remote jobs you could get, they were kind of sketchy. You couldn't find something that was legit or that paid well. So my goal with A Couple Puns was to have something that I could take with us wherever we end up putting down roots and wherever we move. And like, now that I'm a mom, I'm thinking to myself, wow, I did this to prepare me for being a mom. It's the greatest thing. I can stay home with them. I can focus on my family. And I put in all this effort before having the kids. So now I can enjoy that.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible that even if you weren't thinking like how beneficial it would be in young motherhood.
Literally never thought about it.
Yeah. But you're so happy you did now.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah. I would. And a lot of this stuff that I'm able to do today is because I don't think that if you have kids, it's too late to start by any means. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying with this, but I think that a lot of, I was just like driven by passion and I wanted, I don't know, I got a little high off of like every opportunity that I got. Right. And I had all the energy and the space to do it. Now I don't anymore. I also don't really care about some things that come along with like clout. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't fuel me anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just focusing on like the sales and the relationships and everything. But yeah, I think that allowed me to have this perspective now, putting in all that groundwork ahead of time.
Absolutely. I think all of that is incredible. What is your favorite part of your business?
Ooh, I love creating. I love when I get into those creative moods, those creative mm-hmm. waves. When I think of something that I just know, I'm like, that's going to be a hit. Like, it makes me happy knowing that like other people are going to see that and laugh about it. I don't know if you remember, like on Instagram and TikTok that, my money doesn't jiggle, jiggle, it folds, thing came out. So I created a card that says this card doesn't jiggle, jiggle, it folds. And it was a huge hit, got a lot of great feedback. It was picked up by pretty much all my retailers. And when I think of something and I know I'm like, it's gonna hit. Like
lightning
the pop culture stuff. Yeah, yeah. I love it. It's really fun to see people's reactions. It's fun to see a really weird creation. Like, I have one that it says, I love you with all my fart. And it's a Valentine's card. And it's one of my best sellers. And I'm like, you know what? This is great. There's so many people out there that I could just be friends with. Everyone has the same sense of humor.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people that like, especially when giving a card and you're looking at a card and you're thinking of the people. And like, I don't know, my husband and I have a lot of weird inside jokes and I have two little boys. I love you with all my fart. It would be like number one greatest Valentine's card I could ever give in this household. Like, so, I mean, I think a lot of people are, everybody's a little weird. And so something that like, you can kind of, you know, you get a little grasp of that because, you know, just like a regular happy birthday card. I mean, it's been done.
Yeah. One of my most popular ones right now is, this is the only way you're getting carded. Just making fun of friends for getting old. But people love it. And I find a lot of joy in like helping people like just laugh and share all those fun moments. Yeah. Like, I think it's really cool when I have someone buy something for a wedding, and then I'll see a repeat customer for when their friend is having a baby or all the things in their life. And it's just really cool to be a part of that.
Absolutely. And even, you know, however small it is, you know, there's cards, because people always, I feel, or at least I keep cards, and I will go back through them and read them. And the funny ones stay, the ones that are like a generic one with like just
Hallmark.
Like
those go. You know,
the funny ones, those are the ones that stay up. I framed a card because I liked it so much.
I love that.
And it's, you know, and they make you laugh. They make you remember the time that it was given to you, the person, all of that. And
it's funny you say that, because I remember specific cards that I have gotten for people. And my like goal is to, I mean, I have a lot of things that are like specifically say birthday or Mother's Day or holiday, whatever, but most of them are generic. You can use them all year round. And that's kind of the goal. I mean, online, usually I find people who are searching for specific holidays or events, but if you're in a store and you see one of the cards, it's not something that you'll get for someone's birthday. You'll get it just because it made you think of them.
And you giggle to yourself and they're like, oh, they're going to love this.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes you happy to make that person happy.
Yeah. And you're like, I can't wait to give it to them because I hope they giggle like I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. So creating's your favorite part of your business. This question's a little different for you versus some of the people we normally talk to. But what are some of your favorite products? It can be your products that you use to actually run your business, or it could be products that you actually have, like produce yourself.
Products that I use for my business. So when I first started, I was doing a lot by hand. I always printed at a print shop. But I did not have them cut and score things. I was ordering maybe 5 of a design at a time, whereas now I order like 500 to 1,000 of one each time. So there's a lot of like little things, and I can share some links with you for these kind of products. But there was a scoring tool and a cutting machine that I got that was budget friendly, great quality, that really helped me like early on. And then I found some great vendors that offer the envelopes at a discounted price. Even if you're not ordering, you like the minimums are low, but you get really good discounts. Some good like eco-friendly sleeves to protect them in. In the beginning, I wanted to be conscious of like making sure that I had like products that were somewhat sustainable for paper goods. And I'd be happy to share the vendors that I work with.
Anything you share, I can put in the show notes.
Okay.
So that if other people want to find them, they can.
Yeah. And then something that I recently started doing for like retail displays, and I know when you probably saw this when we met at the summit a couple months ago, I'm a one woman show, so everything's on a budget. but when I went to my last wholesale market, previously people would always ask me, these cards are cute, but I don't know how to display them. So before I went to my next market, I really wanted to have an option for them to display, but to get custom made displays, it's really expensive if you're not ordering hundreds of them. So I found a manufacturer that sells displays that were what I had in mind. They're just acrylic displays. They have wooden ones too. And then in order to customize it, I worked with a local business in Texas to make these little logo cutouts that had a little base that I was able to put at the top of the displays. So I now had a branded display that looks like it's one manufactured piece, but really it's the displays and then the custom logos. So just being creative and getting resourceful like that, that's something that I love doing.
That's interesting too. And I'm sure like it was quite a fact finding and research and a lot of trial and error in that, which I feel like is small business in a nutshell.
Yeah. But then once you get that product, it's like, whoa, that was great.
Proud of yourself.
Yeah. Like,
I did that.
It solved the problem for the people buying. It made it easier for them to say yes, because it took the guesswork out of having to display it. So yeah, just making things easier for the customer. This is talking wholesale, not so much my online customers, but making things easier for them was the goal, and it seemed to do that.
And I feel like, I mean, card displays, everybody, you want to see all of your beautiful work. So, yes. Have you seen any like downturn in your business from the economy being what it is? Or since you're kind of a lower price point being a card or a paper good, have you not seen anything change?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of change since COVID, really. During the pandemic, online sales were booming. I mean, everyone was online. There's nothing else to do. So I had a low price point. Even if people are like strapped for cash and like looking to watch their budgets, a card is a low price point and something that we've been talking about, it can go a long way and like it's special, it makes people happy. So that mixed with working with the local printers, I never had a shortage of inventory. Like everything sourced in the US, that really helped me out. And then being able to mail with just a few stamps and just drop off at the post office, I was able to keep up with sales, like never had like a slow turnaround rate. So that was really good for my business. And I found a lot of new customers that way too, that have been with me over the past few years. I do find though that was a huge sales year for the online shop, but now things are like, they're just a little bit slower. I think people are finding more things in person now. They're getting out, they're shopping. So that's why I wanted to start getting back into the wholesale game. But even like the shops now, they're struggling. It's hard to get foot traffic in. The wholesalers there, a lot of them are moving to online shops. And it's my product for retail is something that I think people find at the register. It's an impulse buy, like a low price point impulse buy. So it's just trickier. If someone has a really like successful like brick and mortar, it's an easy sale. But if they're moving online, I have to think about how I'm pitching to them.
Right. Because it would almost have to be like, you know, if you're at a register and, you know, you're already buying a gift and then you see, oh, they have these funny cards. Like
a way to complete the gift. Grab
one. Yeah. Perfect. Done. I don't have to go anywhere else.
Yep.
But online, it's almost like they would have to have, unless they were specifically going to look for cards, you would want it to be like an additional like box, like, oh, you looked at this, we'll buy the card to complete the gift. Or
yeah, like if this is a gift, we have these cards that are going with it.
Right.
Exactly. And that's something that takes a lot of resources on the other end of the shop. Because let's say someone does find a card on their website and only wants to buy the card, there's a whole way of shipping it and minimums and all that. Right. So it makes it tricky. The wholesale side is doing well, but it's things are just changing and there's a lot more conversations about it. And I'm learning about that too. And it's helping me like rethink about the type of stores and I maybe go after. During COVID, something that I kept seeing a lot of sales come from was like local grocery stores. I saw in like little markets and stuff that stayed open during the pandemic that people still have to go to. So if you're getting food, like snacks or wine or something, like you're still going in person, you're not ordering that offline.
Right.
So my cards do really well on shops like that, places where it's like very unexpected.
Mm-hmm. But I could totally see that, like, especially like, I think of a few little grocery stores or that have like, they have some gifty stuff. They have, you know, nice wine. They have specialty cheeses or, and you know, just a few things where you could go in there, you could grab a gift, you could grab wine, and then you have your card and everything's ready to go. And I could see that they were, you know, still open during COVID so that, but you would be selling there too.
That and like coffee shops, my cards move really fast there, the hair salons. It's really those places where people like, it's something that's so cheerful and like makes them so happy that they feel like they have to buy it. And for $5, it's not not something you have to think twice about.
Yeah. it's the low price point that keeps people coming again and again. I think a lot of people too that sold online during COVID had that like large like banner year.
And then it's hard to compare.
Everybody's like, okay, wait, our sales are down from the year before. And it's like, but do you think that was like a little inflated? Maybe not the norm. Like it was a great year, but maybe we can't even like compare it to that year because so many of like the regular variables were skewed.
Yeah, so, no, I'm totally with you on that. When I like look back, I think that, I don't know if I have that perspective and I share that perspective. So I don't, it's not something that gets me down by any means. And I'm very smart about taking on extra overhead. I think like my goal right now, especially being a military family for the next few years until my husband gets out, is just like, I've always wanted to move into different products. But right now with like moving and like my resources, paper goods is allowing me to grow the brand, build customers, build relationships to like eventually open up my own store or expand to other products.
Right.
When I have those resources, when we're not moving every few years.
Yeah.
So just like focusing on the brand growth, like that's where I find the most value right now because my overhead is so low. So like extra sales is wonderful, obviously, but helps pay for the wholesale shows that I'm doing.
Just can get a little pricey.
Yeah, very expensive. But yeah, it's COVID.
That's all you have to say. It was a weird year. It was a weird time.
Yeah, but like what were you saying?
I was gonna say, I feel like right now everywhere is kind of like straddling the line of I like online sales. Like, I mean, as a consumer, like yes, there is online sales and that makes a lot of my life easier, but then sometimes you just want to go and touch and feel and be in a store and like, I don't know. I don't feel like things, it doesn't matter how good of a picture you take and your description, everything, like it doesn't, you can't compare like going in person and feeling something. I don't know how many times I've seen something online and then I see it in the store. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to get that.
Yeah. Like, it's also that like instant gratification.
Absolutely. I don't want to wait, even if it's only 2 days. Like,
yeah.
Amazon's totally ruined me. But like now I need instant gratification even more of like going to the store and purchasing it and it being in my hand.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's so many people straddling the line on that. Like, wait, I like brick and mortar, but also I like the convenience of online. And so small businesses, all businesses are having to like look and pivot and change the way things have been done.
Well, speaking of Amazon, a lot of the products that you find on, not all products, a lot of them are like imported and like manufactured stuff, but there's a lot of handmade products on Amazon.
Right.
A lot of small businesses are on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I sell some of our cards on Amazon because it's like, why not? Mm-hmm. It costs me more money, but I use it as a discovery tool.
Right.
I make marketing. Sure that I make sure that I don't push it. I don't really market the Amazon shop. It kind of does its own thing. Mm-hmm. But I make sure that whenever I have a product that I'm selling on Amazon, I include our marketing. I'm like, hey, follow us here. You can shop from here moving forward. Because like as a small business, I'm not hand making everything. So I think it's different depending on your product that you're making and how quickly you can fulfill. But I'm not getting things out and delivered the next day, but I'm still able to get things shipped within a day or two. And then they'll have them within like 3 and 4 days. Mm-hmm. So I have found some success on Amazon. I do find that the customers are very different. Their reviews, their messages, the tone is very different than someone who purchases from my website or from Etsy. It's just a little more sterile.
And I feel like on Amazon, they try to do more returns from some other people that I've spoken with that have their
mindless returns.
Yeah. And they don't have to think about it because they didn't see, you know, the one thing on Amazon is even though you have like a shop, they don't see the small business behind the cart. They just see the thing, the item that they want and that's it. They don't see anything of the other, which is how Amazon it. I mean, that's how it was created to be.
And they also expect Amazon packaging. That's another like learning curve that I have. I have to like message and make sure that I'm very clear. This will arrive in a pink envelope in your mailbox, not at your front door in a big box.
Right. So. That's true. I didn't think about that. But yeah, when you buy something from Amazon and you think it's going to be Amazon and then you get it in another box or envelope, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a downside to Amazon. And I mean, you can do the fulfilled by Amazon, but in order to send enough inventory to make it worth it, like that's a whole process in itself, which I've done around busy seasons with like the holidays. If I see that things are selling really fast, just because I know that I'm busy on the other end and I don't really want to nurture that because I don't like spending time on an Amazon shop. But yeah.
But that's great that you have a whole other beast. That you can have the option of like during Christmas when you're busier, even just with family stuff, that you would be able to send them a bulk order. Just so that they can keep fulfilling it and do what they do best.
And that's another thing, like as being, I mean, being the military family, if we ever get stationed somewhere where I'm not able to like have a little operation like out of my house that I have now, to work with a third party drop shipping company, it's really expensive. Amazon, I mean, it's pricey, but it's not as expensive compared to like renting out space somewhere. So that's an option for me to keep my business running even when I'm gone. I have a wonderful printer who can do drop shipping wholesale stuff. So I can get my wholesale order in, process it, send them the invoice, and then they print on demand my wholesale order package, fulfill it, and they go out. They work with like other shops that are kind of like mine, and that's their niche. So I can have that and the online shop. So yeah, that's where my brain is right now because I don't know where we're gonna get stationed next. So I wanna make sure that I can keep things going because I've been doing this for so long now. I don't wanna like stop it here just because we're somewhere else. But
I mean, you always have to think of like your next plan, your next move. But I think it's so wonderful that you're all like everything you have is manufactured in the US so that you can do the quick turnaround times when needed or that it's printed on demand. Like you don't have to have a bunch of inventory just sitting there.
I keep certain things that I know sell year round in my online shop. I keep a lot of those in stock. But if I get an order, random order for like 500 of one, if I'm working with Paper Source or Barnes & Noble, who now owns Paper Source, if they order like 500 to 1,000 of one SKU, I don't have to keep that and just like spend the money on the inventory. I can print that and have it fulfilled within a couple weeks and then out the door.
How quick does your printer print? Like if you were to get 1,000 for one SKU, like how quickly do they turn that around?
They could turn it around within like one business week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I've been working with print shops for like over a decade now, just with like other jobs and stuff. I have like a deep understanding of the way that they work. So as long as like I have everything prepared on my end so that they can just like pre-press it and everything, it can get to me in just a few days.
That's incredible. And I feel like people really underutilize like mom and pop small business print shops.
You can do so much with them.
There's several. I mean, I have a favorite one in Houston, but there's a few different ones. And it's, I, not to, you know, big business is great and all, but like the FedEx Kinko's, I want to pull my hair out every time I work with them. But like
the quality is horrific.
And then, but the small shops, there's one that I like love. They've been around forever. And they just, you know, I don't really know what I'm talking about so much, but like, if I want something done, it's always, they'll give me a call and they'll be like, okay, well, you said you wanted this. And I think you really meant this. And I'm like, sounds great. And you know, they just,
they know their stuff.
They know their stuff, which I feel like at some of the bigger ones, you just really get, they don't know their stuff.
Even if I order things like, I order business cards and like little handouts on Vistaprint and like little like freebies and stuff, because there's no way that the, like what my print shop will charge me, I can,
right.
It's too expensive. So I can get like, I get a bunch of coupons for Vistaprint.
Right.
But the quality, I can never expect it to be consistent. And that's why I won't print my products with companies like that. Like it's wonderful for handouts and for like little marketing things, but in terms of like a consistent product, so that people can expect the same thing every time, it's not.
Right. And it's just, I love with small business, working with small business to, you know, y'all are both getting bigger and better by using each other instead of using, you know, I mean, Vistaprint, FedEx, Kinko's, whatever, they all have their place, just like Amazon, you know, but I love when you're using smaller people, you know, smaller businesses, helping smaller business, because I do think there's an expertise in the small business that isn't necessarily there in the big ones.
No, none at all. I totally agree with that.
Or maybe the care, the, you know, this, these cards are buying a little girl's ballet class. And like, it gets lost in the big stuff.
I've had to do some like last minute print things. Like if I'm at a trade show and I need to get like something printed that I forgot or that like ripped or whatever. And I've used like an Office Depot on spot or a FedEx on spot. And even the, yeah, the knowledge base, there's just such a disconnect.
Well, and the people there, they're just doing a job.
It's not their fault. Exactly.
They know, and that, I mean, that's totally fine, but you find the people that go into the small businesses, those print shops, it's either like, you know, it's their family's business and they've done it, or they're an art student and this is what they do on the side to understand the colors and all of that. I mean, I'm all for the small business supporting small business.
Love it.
Let's see. Well,
that's something that's like cool about having your own small business, is like just the different people that you meet and the different communities that it's opened up for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten to do like collaborations with like really cool people, other small businesses, some other like bigger brands, really like kind of open to anything, and cool, like you get to hear their stories, the passion that like drives everything that they're doing. It's awesome. And I love like having like little bits, like the displays that I made.
Right.
I didn't have a reason to work with the business that printed my logos for years, but then I thought about this and I was like, wait, they do a great job with this stuff, so maybe they can help me. So I like kind of drew out a rough sketch of what I wanted, and then we came up with the solution and it looked fantastic.
No, and I just feel like there's so much, it's so much more personal. And then like I see these brands, or I had seen your cards and paper goods before I had a face to the name, and I was like, oh man, like it's so fun knowing the story behind it. And that's a lot of our podcasts are about, like the story behind these brands that we've seen, and they're small businesses and they've just done so much, and you're like, there's so many people in our community that have started side hustles that turned into business. And you're just like, wow, like how did that, like just impressed by the story, the grind, the hustle. Like,
I think it's just a lot of consistency.
Yes.
I think that that's the most important part, because like you can create something and go to like one market and that's fine. And you do a lot of pop-ups and you don't make anything, but it's like staying consistent through that, knowing that like, okay, that wasn't a good market, but I met some good people, and like finding the value in things that aren't just sales. And in the long run, like you'll see it pay off.
Right.
Like I just did my first pop-up since becoming a mom the other day. And then I like had a picture of me and my twins. And then I was like, wait, 7 years ago, I was with my two dogs doing this. I was like, it looks so different. I didn't even have a logo. Like,
yeah,
it was just like all fun and games, and it's really cool to just like reflect and see like what got me to where it is today. But it was just like that consistency and like showing up all the time,
right?
Even if it's just filling orders one day and not doing much, it's just like every little thing that you do, it's gonna pay off.
So on your, so last question, I and then we can wrap this up, but so social media, does that play a large role in your business? Talking about being consistent and, you know, getting out there, do you find that you bring a lot of people in through social media?
Yeah, I think that social media, it's just another tool, mm-hmm. right? It's not like the end all be all. You're going to get all the sales from one viral right. post, especially with how everything is today. It's a branding tool, a marketing tool. I think that social media is most important if I'm like pitching to a shop or trying to do a collaboration with someone and they look at your social media and they see that it's like a vibe that they like or that you've done XYZ. It's good for stuff like that, good for branding and marketing, and it's a tool for that. In terms of sales, most of my sales come from good SEO. Having the back end of my website set up, working with Pinterest. I mean, something on Instagram, you post it, and after 3 days, no one's ever going to see it again. But like, if you reshare that content on Pinterest, or you like link it back to something on your website, then it like there's more longevity with mm-hmm. it. So like that's where I really see the sales, focusing on anything SEO related.
Yeah. SEO, Pinterest. And like, I was looking at Pinterest stuff the other day and didn't realize, I mean, I knew this, but like it was said in a way that made me really like, oh,
it clicked.
Yeah. But they're like, Pinterest is a search engine, just like yeah. Google. It's just with pictures.
Yeah, exactly. And if you Google something, Pinterest will show right. up at the top.
And I just never thought about it in that way, even though that's exactly what it is. And I know that because I go in there and I, you know, type something into Pinterest, but it's, I type different things into Pinterest than I would to Google. But yeah, I was listening to several podcasts over, you know, your Pinterest marketing, and it's super easy.
It's undervalued, yes. I think. I don't think that people put enough. No. And people, I think that it's very easy to get caught up in like what's called vanity metrics, right. like how many followers you have, mm-hmm. how many likes you have, and views you have on something. At the end of the day, if you're not getting a sale from that, right. that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And you can have like hundreds of thousands of followers versus and like 6,000 followers and have a very engaged community, and you can end up like, that's more valuable.
Right.
So I think that like Pinterest, I think it's so much more valuable than like the number of followers mm-hmm. and likes that you have. But that's something that like you can't educate. Like, I think that there's people aren't going to care about that. They see that like 20,000 followers, ooh, this person yeah. looks legit. And it's, yeah.
Yeah. It's something that they, with the followers, it's something that they can automatically just like see. And it's again, the instant gratification of yeah. seeing the number of followers, not all of the work it yep. took to get those followers, or like, oh, on Pinterest, you might not have that many followers, but like all of these people clicked on your link and it pointed them to your mm-hmm. website. Like,
yep.
It's different. And I completely agree with you. I just think it's always interesting to hear what people's strategy for social media, Pinterest, all of that, because it's always growing and changing, and
yep.
It's always
different demographics yeah. on the different platforms. Right. I mean, TikTok is a whole different beast. I think that it's very tough being like being a creative, and then I mean, with that, I've become a content creator, mm-hmm. just trying to get my brand out there. With all these changes, it wants you to be a video expert now and constantly come up with these ideas. But the thing that frustrates me the most about it is that nothing's original. You're just seeing the same thing yeah. repurposed to someone's cookies or right. cups or cards. And I haven't really been able to get into that because I don't have the resources mm-hmm. and I'm fine with it. It hasn't hurt my business or right. helped it. But yeah, social media, it's tough. I think it's really tough because there's a lot of, you're like controlled by the algorithm.
Right. And just when you get,
sucks the fun out of it.
Just when you get comfortable in one, it's like, oh wait, no, we're going to change it. We only like yeah. reels now. And
yeah,
you can only do reels.
I like static images. Yeah, I like looking at pretty things.
Yes, I love a good static image with a good pun.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see that kind of stuff anymore. I know. We're just in a different bracket now.
Yesterday I was on Instagram and I was looking at a mixer or something that it was like, come to our mixer for young professionals. And then it had the age. And it was like 25 to 34. And I was like, not a young professional anymore? What? I was like, that is rude.
I never even thought about that. Like, when do you age out?
I never saw a number, but
I never thought of it that way.
That would hurt. Like, I understand I don't get carded at the bar or carded at the grocery or liquor store or whatever, but I can't even go to the young professionals mixer. Not that I wanted to, but it's just like, damn, that would hurt.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I was like, well, I guess they ID you there.
I have a card for that.
Yeah. Get your card. But anyway, it was so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on. If you would like to see her cards and paper goods, it is at acoupleofpuns.com. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Follow us at Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and Instagram for all of our latest updates. We will see you next week.